season. Bill Staines is the featured artist for the upcoming October 11 concert. Bill Staines is a singer-songwriter whose career has spanned 5 decades, and his songs have been recorded by many well-known artists. That's Bill Staines in concert, Friday, October 11 at 7:30 p.m. at the Reedwood Friends Church, 2901 Southeast Steele Street in Portland. For more information, go to kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is now 6 o'clock. Up next is Right to Survive.
You're listening to Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 in Portland. I'm Ibrahim Mubarak of Right to Survive. On this show, we go to Ground Zero, Portland, Oregon, and report news and stories that corporate media don't cover. We'll bring the uncut reality from the perspective of the unhoused community.
This is Lisa Faye with Right to Survive Radio. R2S Radio goes into the houseless community, making their voices heard, speaking to individuals on subjects that directly relate to their daily struggles.
Somebody help me.
That's work.
This is not healthy.
Oh, man.
I am not wealthy.
What I do, have the power to break the chains.
Doing what's right, you.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to another listening session of Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 95 FM on your radio dial. And we have a packed house and a good topic for today. Our topic is sweeps again as normal and usual and as frequent as we can do it. And we also talk about the closing of feeding spots and shelters. This week we're going to talk about Sunnyside.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, Sunnyside. And we have 3 wonderful guests. As of course, this is Ibrahim Mubarak, the co-host, and I'm going to give you over to my other co-host.
Welcome, I'm Lisa Fay. We're here with Right to Survive Radio here on KBOO. We have wonderful guests tonight, and we have some serious topics that are really hitting home for a lot of people that are in the houseless community.
And we want our guests to go around and introduce themselves because nobody know how to pronounce their name better than they do.
My name is Jeffrey Withercoat.
Hi, I'm Sarah Rudolph.
Hi, I'm Sandy Lofi.
And this is where the uncomfortable is made comfortable. So we want to start off with Jeff, everybody know about sweeps. So, Jeff, what's happening with the topic of sweeps today in the houseless community?
Well, a thing called the Business Improvement District was passed. And so for inner southeast Portland, that has meant a great increase in the frequency of sweeps. I think it's also, you know, resulted in other things like less notice being given, notices posted in odd ways so that people don't really know that a sweep is coming, and so on. Downtown, as I understand, has been subjected to just the same type, you know, a more intense type of sweeps than Southeast Portland. And so, in case people don't know what that means, they post a posting that says, a flyer that says, you have, this area has been declared a illegal camp zone area. Of course, we can't figure out who it is that makes that declaration. Is it city ordinance? Is it a city council member that's in charge? Is it, who is it that makes that declaration? And what are the parameters of those declarations? Does it extend 2 blocks, 4 blocks, into the sidewalk, halfway through the street, beyond the park? What are the so it's really not within the normal, what one would call legal parameters. And the whole process is frankly aimed at harassment, and they, by, if you don't move your stuff, which is a pain in and of itself, it's a time consuming hassle. You have to pack your stuff up, you have to transport it, you have to reset it back up, and then if you don't get all of that done within the timeline that they give you, they take your things and supposedly keep it at a storage area where you can get it within 30 days. But I, for one, have never gotten all of my things back, and not a single person that I've talked to about their things ending up at storage has ever gotten their things back. And that means, and especially with winter coming up, it's a problem. That means you don't have sometimes your tarps or your sleeping bags. You don't have your personal hygiene products, which to replace them, even if you're going to get your stuff back from the businesses that seize and store your property, even if you do get it, but you're going to temporarily be without toothpaste, shaving cream, razor blades, any medications that you take, Q-tips, and on and on and on. Or you can try to replace them one way or the other, but still that's either going to consume time or it's going to consume money. And then when you don't get things back, and I've had them not return dentures, I've had them not return hand trucks, which are vital in case you do try to comply with the sweeps to move your things. And there is no due process. They've declared it a sweep area. They've declared it an illegal camp zone. Now they're going to take your property, and sometimes they're going to throw your property away or whatever it is they do with it. It's wrong. And when winter comes, it's going to hurt people. It's going to cause disease, health impacts, and probably in some instances, death.
Okay, and since this is a twofold show, can y'all hear me? Since this is a twofold show, we're going to let people at Sunnyside do their introduction. And if you have any questions or comment, call us at Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 95 FM. The phone number is 503-231-8187.
I live in the Central East Side, and I...
Introduce yourself.
Sorry, this is Sarah Rudolph. I work with Portland Assembly. We do a lot of outreach and then also have been supporting services at Sunnyside for the last couple of years. We have been involved in the... sort of the conversation with the CEIC, which is the Central East Side Industrial Council, which is the business improvement district that's been formed down there on the Central East Side. We are noticing things that are completely out of the agreements that were made with the city, between the city and the CEIC. So things like multiple law enforcement agencies being involved in these sweeps, which were supposed to be handled simply by PPS or whoever was hired by the CEIC to do that. But we've seen, so PPS has an addendum service that is contracted with them or part of them. Then we also have inmate crews doing the sweeps, observed by Multnomah County sheriffs, and we have Portland police on site. PPS, sorry, is Pacific Patrol Service. So that is the company that has been contracted through the CEIC. So we're seeing this sort of doubling down on law enforcement rather than removing it from the equation, which was what the goal was. We're also seeing things like in the Central East Side, the notices that are posted, which have a city seal on them, despite private agencies posting and enforcing them, are 10-day notices, but they are being posted every 7 days. So that means that there is no overlap and no allowance there. If you've got a 48-hour window, which doesn't seem to be being observed at all, then that means that there is no time that people have to recover. We're seeing sweeps so often that we can't find the people that we need to feed.
Okay, and our next guest, introduce yourself. And
hi, I'm Sandy Lofi, and I used to work for the Sunnyside Community House, which is now turned into Beacon PDX. We were our ministry recently ended on September 15th, where we were actually evicted from the Sunnyside United Methodist Church.
Okay, 503-231-8187 is the calling number. I'm sorry, my microphone fell off and I'm holding it.
Technical difficulties.
Technical difficulties.
So the call-in number is 503-231-8187.
We're going to take a quick musical break as we try and repair this microphone. Cue music, please.
Okay. We think it's a conspiracy. Is it CIC or Sunnyside or police doing the sweep that hijacked my mic? I don't know. But if you have any questions, call 503-231-8187. You're listening to Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM.
And can we go back to Sunnyside for just a second? Can you tell us what Beacon PDX does for people that have not heard the name before? And where do they do what they do?
So Beacon PDX, as I said, is the new name essentially for Sunnyside Community House once we were evicted from that place. So we are currently trying to buy a new building to house our ministry. But in the meantime, we are raising funds, doing fundraising for that. But in the meantime, we are visiting local parks and feeding our peeps, as we like to call them. And we take orders for their clothes or sleeping needs, toiletry needs. And then if we don't have them with us, we come back the next day with those items.
So tell me, how long have Sunnyside been helping the houseless community?
For 38 years.
38 years. And so all of a sudden they run out of funding, or is it a certain group, or you're smiling, so I must be hitting a nail on the head.
We never had any funding to begin with.
Okay, right. No funding. Okay.
It was mainly...
I mean, why are you all being... ousted. Let's put it like it is. Y'all being kicked the mess out.
So in the United Methodist Church.
Methodist. Oh my goodness. Didn't they kick us out? I wish Teresa Rediford was listening to this. Didn't they kick us out of Woodland Mike? Yeah.
They have what they call New Start or Faith Development, where they want to go into a neighborhood and start a new faith community.
Oh, community purging.
That's not my word.
We sing that around Portland.
Yeah. So at one time, Sunnyside Community House was Sunnyside United Methodist Church, and that congregation closed around 2014 or 15, somewhere in there. But they still house community groups in that venue, as well as the houseless ministry. But then there was a call at the conference level where they wanted a new faith development to start in that community. So they actively started seeking a new pastor. And then this last July 2019, they found that pastor, and it was decided that the houseless ministry could no longer work there with them, and that we were being evicted.
Decided by the Methodist Conference and the new
The Oregon-Idaho Conference of the United Methodist Church.
And that's after how many years of serving the community?
38.
And so all of a sudden, y'all get cut off when people get used to it or get recommended to going where they can get help until they can get on their feet.
Well, and also, just to be clear, Sunnyside provides more than just meals. Sunnyside used to provide shower service, connection to other services, a place for people to connect with, say, Portland Street Medicine,
warming shelter. What's going to happen with the warming shelter?
We're not sure. We're actively looking for space. We're talking to some places. It seems a little more difficult than ever to get buy-in on that. If you have a space that needs a warming shelter, contact Portland Assembly. Or if you have a space that you want to open as a warming shelter, we would love to have a place to bring our skills and to welcome our community. but yeah, so this is definitely, and this seemed to happen about the same time, actually, that y'all were removed from Woodlawn.
A few months earlier, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So I just say that, yes, we provide all those services, but we also provide relationships. Mm-hmm. Our peeps think that we are friends, and we are friends with them. We provided a safe place for them to come in and not get harassed. We provided love, and we did that really well.
And I want to say that Sunnyside was one of the only place, really, that would let us institute the principles that are important to us in running shelters, which is that it be no barrier, that we not discriminate against people who might be, you know, using drugs, or make sure that we have a safe space for our transgendered community. Like, these are very important things for us, and there are very few church communities that are willing to work within those boundaries. So we've really appreciated how invested in community building Pat and the other folks with the Sunnyside Community House were.
So we're going to take our 15-minute music break. If you have any questions, concerns, or statement, call us at 503-231-8187, and we want to come back and talk with the sweeps. I believe the sweeps, when people get swept, they were utilizing Sunnyside to get the things that Jeff said houseless people need, and also a community. So after our music break, we're going to continue talking about sweeps and Sunnyside and Beacon Now Community Center. Okay.
When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes, and something without water, love, bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me.
Yeah.
All right, let me make a correction. Every 15 minutes, we take a music break together. I thought we were taking a 15-minute music break. I think we can have a dance up in here. We do that, I suppose. Okay, Jeff. Let's go back to sweeps, and I did text Teresa Rutherford so she can talk to us about what the Methodist did to us at Woodland Mike, and we'll be waiting on her call if she got my message. But Jeff, let's talk about the disruption that sweeps bring and the uncomfortableness that sweeps bring to humans.
Well, I mean,
and I know you got a list of...
It's regardless of whether or not a sweep is even happening. Every single day, you've got the stress that they will come and take your stuff because they don't necessarily put up one of those postings. A couple times I've had my things taken and never was there any posting, and I promise there was no posting up, and my things disappeared. The other thing that happens is they say that they post and then it covers for... And if you ask four police how far it extends, you'll get four different answers. But generally, so take the smallest one. They say 2 blocks. So if you go 2 blocks in every direction from where one is, that's a fair amount of telephone poles, walls, trees that you've got to look on all sides of. And then people, regardless of whether or not they're for you or against you, will tear down those postings. And you don't end up seeing a posting. And as a consequence, it's a complete surprise when they show up and tell you you've got 10 minutes or no minutes or whatever to move your stuff. And that's in violation of, there was a court case, and I don't know if it was part of a ruling by a judge or just the city voluntarily said, well, this is what we'll do to clean up our act so we're not so blatantly taking people's property without due process of law. But one of the things that it said was that there would be an hour notice, even after the 48 hours, when they start to take your things, you've still got an hour to move your stuff. And that absolutely doesn't happen. I don't think it happens at all anymore.
Okay, we got a call on the line. We'll come back to you, Jeff. Caller, state your name and your conversation.
Hey, Corey Ilya, managing editor of Village Portland, former guest on the radio program.
Hey, Corey, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. I've been sitting here listening to what you guys are talking about, and actually kind of really... happy to hear these conversations come up. I've been myself.
But sad to hear, right? Happy to hear, but sad to hear.
Yeah. I mean, it's a conversation that needs to be had. I mean, I've myself been covering the homeless situation for over 2 years now, and I'm kind of at a point right now where I'm noticing that the sweeps are getting out of control.
Yeah.
Yes.
So one thing I want to ask Jeff, and you too, Cork, and you know, we all been houseless before. And we noticed that the postings have changing. They put them up everywhere and expect people to go four blocks and read and say, this is going to be swept. So as Jeff said, does it mean in that Pacific area or does it mean that whole side, north side, southeast side, whatever? And also, isn't that on a posting where they had to contact the social service agency and say, we're going to sweep these people, so make room for your shelters? Now, what happens when there ain't no room for the shelter? Or are they contacting these social service agency? I remember one time the police said, well, we called Joyn at 2 in the morning. And I looked at them like, wow, do they expect me to accept this? Do they think houseless people are stupid? Joyn is closed at 2 in the morning. So
exactly.
What happened? What happened to that theory? Do we fight against these unjust laws that's being imposed on us?
See, and that's more troubling to me as well, because when I've been covering these sweeps and stuff, trying to get interviews for journalistically and whatnot, I've been being told that people are getting swept every almost 48 hours in some areas, especially out in the Springwater area. They aren't able to get any contacts for social services. They're usually handed like a fine. It's getting bad, man.
I know what we can do. We can use my phone number for every time somebody call me that they getting swept. Somebody donate $100 where we can get people new tents and sleeping bags and stuff. And it'll be enough where we probably can buy a building for Beacon and give them, because I'm getting called constantly every single day.
And see, one thing that I feel is not really being said too much either is that a lot of these service centers and stuff are replacing the stuff that gets taken during the sweeps, and it's costing them financially as well.
Exactly. I think Sarah Rudolph had a question for you, Corey, or wanted to say something.
Well, I just, we've also been noticing that because of the sort of high number of people, agencies that people are interacting with during these sweeps, that they're getting lots of different stories about what is allowed and that sort of thing. And also, I mean, clearly the increased contact has an impact on people.
Definitely.
Yeah, but just like, the way that I don't know how people are expected to know what they really are supposed to be doing.
And that's period. So thank you for calling, Corey. We're going to go back to Jeff and anybody else that's listening to our radio show. 503-231-8187 is the call-in number. Jeff, continue.
Thank you, Corey.
Again, it's the deprivation of property without any sort of due process. It's not just a question of tarps and sleeping bags. It's also personal possessions. The last photographs that you have of your family. A person I heard the other day had his father's ashes taken and not returned. And things like that. And the aim of the program, I don't know. You'd think that the aim of the program would be to clean up the camps and, I don't know, I'm not sure, force them into the shelters, even though they know full well that there's a shortage of shelters. In fact, it's a waste of taxpayers' money as well, because it does the opposite of what it seeks to do if the goal is to clean camps up. The more you make people move around, the more disorganized their stuff becomes, the more difficult it is for them to manage their lives, the more likely it is that they're going to make a mess. And people, the stuff for the most part that homeless people have that you call their trash, it's not their trash. The non-homeless community produces the trash. The homeless community consumes the trash
and make good out of it.
Exactly.
One person trash is another one.
Homeless people have the lowest carbon footprint in this community, guaranteed. Mother Earth would breathe a sigh of relief if there were more homeless, not fewer homeless.
So the thing of it is, I did a talk in St. Paul, Minnesota, a year ago. And I told them the gentrification of houseless community is a high-tech form of genocide. When you find a group of people putting an ad hoc camp together and they building community safe where they can sleep and leave their stuff, and all of a sudden they swept, people are starting to die because the weather take toll on them. They losing their medicine, as Jeff said. They losing touch with humanity and everything. So we have another caller. So these are things that maybe house people don't know about. that people, that it is a high-tech form of genocide. And so we're going to go to our caller right now. We're going to come back to Sandy, Sarah, and Jeff. Call on the line, state your name and your concern.
My name is Arthur.
Hey, and, Arthur.
Hi. You know, there's practical ways to make this dream come true, I think, like the dirty camps. You just pay the people that are in the camps, you pay them money to keep it clean, like a job.
That's a good idea. Also, just extending the same basic services that they... You got a garbage pail on every corner downtown and an army of street cleaners to keep it clean.
No, but first, you know, those people need money, right? And
exactly.
And other people want to make it look pretty. Well, put the two together and, you know, actually pay these people to help them out, and then also give them more talk about, because... right now the weather's turning, so
exactly, and that's what. And what if you have a clean campsite? What if people are cleaning up? Would they still be swept? What is the concern of people that living in houses that concern them so drastically that they want to see people walking around in the rain and the snow and the cold, getting pneumonia and tearing up their livability squad?
Yeah,
because when people become houseless, they bring their problems that they had inside into the streets. They don't accumulate this problem from being in the street. So these are your neighbors, people. These are human people. Okay.
Yeah, there's a spiritual divide, definitely. I think some people need to suffer themselves a bit more, to have a little bit more compassion. And there's a divide. It's hard to describe.
Exactly. Where houseless people don't suffer, it's society that make them suffer by the way they treat them.
Yeah, you know, this is a land of plenty.
Plenty, you know, what? Suffering?
I look around, if you read Rearrange Priorities, there's not a huge budget overflow. You know, it's very, very doable. Look at the military, look at the budget. I mean, it's outrageous, you know?
Yeah.
Look at policing, and look at our budget for policing, and look at the money that's spent there in a place that does not help our homeless issue, and it could be spent in other ways that actually help people.
Yeah, all you had to do is listen to Commissioner Hardesty. She's been tackling this topic for a long time on policing.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it just occurs to me also, if you address the homeless people, then the police would be freer to take care of serious crimes, and that also would make everyone safer.
We don't need that either, though.
So, okay. Thank you for calling in, Carla.
Anyway, I'm rambling now. Have a nice night.
All right. We're going to go back to Jeff. You want to continue?
Well, actually, can I jump in real quick?
Of course.
Okay, this is Sarah again with Portland Assembly. And one of the things that I wanted to bring attention to is I've been going to a lot of community meetings lately with people's neighborhood associations and then neighborhood association splinter groups that don't like when neighborhood associations are sympathetic to houseless people. And I have definitely noticed an increase in sort of anger from the housed population, an increase in desire for police response. And we already know, I mean, in 2017, 52% of police arrests were of the houseless population. That has not helped us. It does not seem to be solving any problems. So I don't see how increased punitive measures are going to help. One of the things that we're trying to talk to people about now is how to deal as a housed person with effects of the sweeps. How to do things like let people use your outside hoses, let people charge their phones, try not to stress too badly when someone goes through your recycling, that sort of thing. But also get to know people. Get to know the people in your neighborhood and get out there and talk to your city commissioners and representatives about the sweeps. Like, object to them strenuously. Watch when they're happening in your neighborhoods. Get out and take pictures. Like, help folks out. These are your neighbors.
Look at how they treat the people once they sweeping them. And then, and you, and if you the one that made that call, you should feel bad. I forget what we was in Washington. I forget what city we was in, that this lady called the police on someone that was having mental issues going through her garbage, and the police killed her. She said, "Oh my God, I didn't want y'all to kill her lady. I just want y'all to remove her." And now she's an advocate. Y'all should watch on how people are being treated.
Yes, I think what is severely lacking from a lot of house people is the compassion. If they took the time to understand that every time a person is swept, and if they're moved 2, 3, 4 times a week or even a month, that's more property loss that they have to go through, more harassment and trauma as the sweep is happening. The follow-up from social services for support that the noises claim to be following up with is not present anywhere. People have been swept and swept and swept over and over and over. And we do not, when we're filming these sweeps, when we're interacting with people who have been swept, when calls are being made, is when you call to complain about a camp and you want the police to come and do something, or you want it swept, are you also calling the social service providers like Join or Central City Concern?
Or how about having the chutzpah to go down and the humanity to actually, the common decency, to go down and talk with the persons about what your problem is before you pick up the phone and call 911, eliciting a violent response.
Yeah.
Go down and talk to them as one human to another human, and I'll bet you 9 times out of 10 they will respond in a positive way.
And are they committing a crime, or are you just upset that people are living free? We're going to go to our music break.
30 second
music break. And we're going to come back and talk about Sunnyside. 503-231-8187 is the call-in number. Thank you. Okay, we're back. 503-231-8187 is the call-in number. You're listening to Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. Sandy, want to discuss more about Sunnyside and what's happening there, because I see a good coalition of what's happening at Woodland Mike, how they invited all the black activists and black community and people of color to come use that as a community center. And when it got built up, they locked us out. I hope y'all seen my Facebook posting on how they locked us out, and now they misused us to get recognition. Now they're using it for their own benefit.
Religious gentrification.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
Now back to what's going on. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I would just like to share one story about a sweep that happened in August in the Sunnyside neighborhood. So it was one of those really hot days, and one of our peeps came inside and was screaming and ranting and raving, saying that she is dead, she is dead. And we're all like looking at him, and we couldn't figure out what was going on. And he goes, "You need to come outside, you need to save her." And what had happened across the street, unfortunately, at the park next to the elementary school, was that one of our peeps had died. Mm-hmm. At this time, we don't know what. The autopsy is still being done. And it was fairly horrific, and rapid response was there. They were doing a sweep. And they When I had gone out there, I went down, when I found out who it was Debbie Beaver, one of our everyday guests at Sunnyside, and her husband as well, Scott. And when I found out that it was her, I just knelt down because I wanted to touch her and I wanted to say some prayer. And when I reached down, the rapid response guy and the policeman at that time said, "Get away from her." What we didn't know was whether or not how long she'd been dead for, but we eventually found out from rapid response that when they had gotten there, she was already dead, and they assumed a couple hours. They called 911, and the dispatcher told them to secure the scene and don't let anybody touch the body. I'm not sure if that was a response only for rapid response people and sweep people, or if that would be a normal response if I was to call and say my husband was dead or dying. I think that's appalling. I do know that since then, protocol has changed and rapid response is not allowed to secure the scene or have the authority when there is possibly a dead body on scene. But what I think is even more tragic is that after the police left the scene and Debbie's body was taken away, rapid response continued to sweep the block and continued to sweep Scott's belongings.
Business as usual.
And we all stood there horrified with tears in our eyes that Debbie had passed, and we had nothing to tell our friends. Our homeless friends. They wanted us to do CPR. Why aren't you doing CPR, Sandy? Why don't you go over there and do CPR? But we weren't allowed to. We were told we could not touch the body. All of Scott's possessions were taken, as well as Debbie's. He has nothing left of Debbie because of that particular sweep. We called, or whoever you called, to try to go to the warehouse to get Scott's stuff, and actually it took us about 4 days, and we got a little bit of his stuff back, but we couldn't get any paperwork. The backpack that he carries his medications in and his paperwork, it was lost or thrown away, but we got a few things back, and that was about it.
And people consider this themselves to be a part of a civilized society while they scoot around on their scooters and the like, and that they need to realize is that all of this is done in their name.
This is not okay, Portland. It is not okay. You can't tell me they couldn't have deferred the sweep maybe just until the next morning or the next day. You had to continue it as onlookers stood to watch their friend be thrown in a body bag and in a van and carted off to some morgue. That is not okay.
It's kind of the opposite of regular law, what I would think would be standard law enforcement procedure. I mean, like on Dragnet and stuff, they would have you stay in town. They would want to interview anybody that was in the vicinity. They would want any physical evidence that might be there kept there. That they do the exact opposite of that is another indicator to me that they don't treat people that are homeless or low income with the same type of standards that they do other people. That the people that are homeless or very low income are somehow less than full citizens.
So an organization that our members of RAP want to lobby for the Homeless Bill of Rights, which is not separate from the regular Bill of Rights, we just want to give homeless people the same rights as house people, the same rights. We're not out of form because people say, "Oh, that's too much. Y'all gonna take things away from we can do the houseless people. Y'all too rough." But we should make houseless people a protective class because of what happens to them. And I wonder, do the people that make these calls, that cause people to die, that cause people to suffer and frustration, do they stick their thumb in the pie and sit in the corner and say, "Oh, what a good citizen am I?" Why are people afraid of houseless people? You all made us. Now we're going to rise. And I want to give this not a threat but a fact to the city officials and the police. It's time that houseless people react and stand up and fight for their rights. Back to Sunnyside. When people get swept and they used to come to Sunnyside to get relief, to get their stuff, what are they going to do now that Sunnyside is gone?
Well, as I said, we created beaconpdx.org, and we do have a phone number on there. And if any of our people...
Can you give it out?
I will look that up.
Well, now if St. Francis would only let people charge their phones, the homeless people might be able to make that call.
Yeah, this is definitely a thing that is a problem, is the lack of ability to charge phones. Of course, we are well aware that, like, bathroom access should be a human right, and yet it doesn't seem to be afforded to houseless people.
And how can we force the people who are doing the sweeps, the police, to call these social service entities, to find room for these people for humans that's living out in the street? And what happened if it ain't enough room? Do they have to go to jail?
Jail's
the new shelter?
There's that, but before this program ends, I don't want to leave that as a blanket thought. Much of the concept behind the sweeps is to force people into these shelters, some of which are disgusting. Sometimes you don't want to be around that many people. So a number of reasons that people might not want to go into shelters. And it's all on a track to get you into some sort of low-income housing. Sometimes that housing is very degrading, does not treat a man like a man, inspections and the rest, or a woman like a woman. So just in my case, here towards the end of my life, with my limited resources, if I want to use some of those resources to explore my artistic side, rather than turning it over to a landlord or a bankster, then I should have the freedom to do that, especially in a nation that goes to foreign lands to kill people for freedom, supposedly. I don't want the shelters of the low-income houses.
All right, I found my phone number.
Okay.
So if you are homeless, you can call our phone number, which is 503-893-8895, and we will bring you food, we will bring you clothes, a sleeping bag and tent if we have it on hand. We will help you.
So I kind of want to go back to what you were saying about where are people supposed to go? Yeah. And I think that one of the reasons that police are not the answer here but the services that we're talking about that they want to connect people to are so lacking, and they are, like, the state itself is presenting such a bad option for houseless folks. It really... there's a phrase that gets used, and it's service resistant. And that is a phrase that really, really gets to me, because I, as a housed person, have, with a group of other housed people, attempted to get just one person housing or respite from the street when they were in mental duress. And with all of my resources, I was unable to do that for somebody. Mm-hmm. If those beds are not available anyway, then sending cops out on the streets to harass people and present them with cards that have numbers that lead nowhere isn't the answer.
Like 211.
Yeah.
Where's all this hate coming from? My goodness.
Well, I mean, if you ask me, it's capitalism, and it's because it poses homeless people as a threat to us, housed people, and a threat to business, and policing is driven by business interests.
And if they don't have a segment of the community to kick around that says to everybody else, if you don't clean those toilets, this is what's going to happen to you.
I was at a neighborhood association meeting. Well, it wasn't an official neighborhood association meeting. It was one of those splinter groups that we were talking about. And it was up in Montevilla.
Thank you.
The only people invited to be on the panel were police.
And it was about the shootings, right?
Well, it was ostensibly, yes, supposed to be about some shootings that have been happening up there, which, you know, seem to have been dealt with in the normal fashion. After about 10 minutes, the topic changed, and all we talked about for the rest of the night were the the residents of that community's, the housed residents of that community's problems with houseless people.
Well, kiss my ankle.
Who they didn't want to call houseless anymore. They wanted to call it criminals.
Yes, there was, and I quote, a woman who said, I don't know why we're using such fuzzy, warm, fuzzy language like homeless. Why don't we just call them criminals? And this is for no behavior, mind you. This is merely for being unhoused. That these people think that they should be classified as criminal.
So the minute you lose your housing, you're a criminal.
Apparently so. It's interesting to me because it was a very heightened emotional feeling in the room. You could tell that there were people in the audience who were legitimately afraid, and that fear was being stoked by the presence of the police, and that was creating a feedback loop that told people that the only answer for this was policing. It tells people that they are threatened by other people living outside. It tells people that the only thing to do for that is to get more police on the streets.
Daniel Outlaw, are you listening to this?
And it's a fact that the homeless community is no more criminal than other segments of the society, other than the things like the violations of camping ordinances and structure ordinances, and then probation violations and the rest. The only real difference between housed people and unhoused people is unhoused people have really thin walls, tents and tarps, whereas people that are housed, and don't take this too wrongly, liberals, they have thin skin.
Neoliberal. Okay, Sandy, what happened when you all appealed to the people at Sunnyside that this is well needed? This is a must thing that should be happening. What happened to the, did y'all appeal it? What did they say? How did it go down? Did they just say, you're out and that's it? What reasons did they give you or what?
They basically said, no, there's no negotiation here. In fact, they just told us recently that we should not even continue to feed people in the park across the street from the Sunnyside Church.
But they don't own that.
Correct, but they told us that we should be in a 4-block radius.
They can't do that. I mean, this is y'all, this is for public people. Is people getting arrested for feeding people?
Not yet. Certainly get a lot of visits.
But we're thinking it's coming.
Last week, let me just tell you, last week was pretty intense over there. Because the principal of Sunnyside Elementary is an amazing person and has been in support of Sunnyside and the work that has been going on there, we are actually sanctioned to be where we are, but we have been harassed by multiple agencies every time we've been there.
What type of agency?
We were there, but okay. Last week, no, this is interesting. Yeah. So last week was a big week. Monday, police showed up to sweep. 6 police cars, I believe. They arrested some of our folks. They were there at recess, so 11 o'clock in the morning on the schoolyard.
Children.
Yep.
Out playing.
The next day, Tuesday, they showed up again. This time, they brought SWAT team and the
SWAT team. Are people getting fed?
Mm-hmm.
On a school day?
On a school day.
Children can see the violence going on outside.
And guess what else, though? The DA was
there.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Rod
Underhill. Underhill. Yes.
Not Rod. The famous Rod Underhill
was there with the DA, Rod Underhill, and his SWAT team.
People.
Yes.
Traumatizing children and teachers adjacent to the park. Mm-hmm.
Blue pages in your phone book. Rod Underhill, DA, call him up and tell him he's a dink.
That's a dink, D-I-N-K.
Right.
Oh, a stink, S-I-N-K.
A stinker, right, because we don't cuss on
that. So after that, and then they also, we were there on Wednesday, Portland Assembly, and we saw the police again. They were sweeping people who were not actually camping. Is the thing. So they were making people move along who were just in the park. They have told us that we cannot have a picnic with anybody we are not related to.
Really?
Yes, this is something that
is that
a park ranger.
Is that an unjust law? You can't have people?
Well, it's not a law. We called and we found out that it is not a law, and there is nothing on the books that indicates that.
You cannot put up a table.
We can't put up a table.
Wait a minute. Are there any signs or rules?
Oh, no.
That you can look at and obviously see that you're breaking when you're...
They can cite the ordinances.
It's anarchy. It's anarchy.
And the ordinances that they're citing, are they actual... Well, real ordinances,
when we
or
called
are they
about
just fictitious
when we
ORS number 1234567?
What they did, the park ranger claimed that we were having an event because we were feeding a mass of people and I had a table up.
If we have a family reunion and we just decide to have a picnic in the park because Susie's married to my brother Paul and Kim is married to
It's not true. They said it was not true.
They said it
was just something. This is one of the problems though, is if you have multiple agencies enforcing these quote unquote laws, if you have multiple agencies that don't actually know what the regulations are interacting with the public, then you're gonna have mass confusion and nobody's gonna be able to know what they're gonna do.
And they like it.
That's
that way.
On purpose. Yes, exactly.
I was going to say, so in a nutshell, this is just to harass and scare the houseless people.
And my mistake was when I was asked what I was doing and I said, I'm feeding the homeless. Apparently that's not okay because he said, well, that's an event, but if you told me you were feeding your friends, that would have been okay.
We need Dando Handelman and Regina and Cop Watch to go and show Know Your Rights. We need National Lawyers Guild. We need ACLU to educate the houseless people, or give it to activist organizations like Street Roots and Sister of the Rose, Systemic Change,
or
and Right to Survive.
Or nationwide, a couple of mayors could get shot. That'd slow it down.
Well, we can't promote that. We need these groups and organizations to teach the houseless community their rights, because I don't know why houseless people are afraid of the police. We need to educate people so they can stand their ground and stand up for their rights, because we are the public, we are citizens of this country, and we deserve to be protected. We're going to take a 30-second music break and come back and wrap it up.
Next time, Ebreen tells me.
503-231-8187. And if you like our show, call in and tell Cable. We still love you, Ani, wherever you are.
You're listening to Right to Survive Radio here on KBOO 90.7 FM. And our topic tonight is the houseless population, the sweeps that are occurring, the criminalization, and some of the things that have gone down in the Montevilla neighborhood with the Sunnyside Community Center, and now Beacon PDX. And I just want to throw out there, we have like 8 minutes left. Temperatures are dropping. It's getting really cold really fast. I work outdoors in my 9-to-5 profession, and I could still see my breath at 11 o'clock this morning. And on our way down here to the station, the temperature inside the car was reading the outside temperature was 49 degrees. 49 degrees at the hottest part of the day, 5 p.m. It's only going to get colder. People out on the street need community support. They need to make sure that they're warm. People need to have more compassion this time of year. People need to call their councilmen and women.
Or woman. Councilperson.
And call the Joint Office of Houseless Services and demand that the sweeps stop. That people need a chance to be able to take care of their mental and physical health, to get the services they need, to get food, to be able to have a safe structure. If you want garbage services because you want a cleaner area, insist that. If you want to know your neighbors, then get out and meet them. If you don't want them, if you don't want people canning in your recycling, put your bottles of cans out on the street so that they could just walk by and pick them up on their route.
And this is what I mean by genocide. When you sweep a camp, you create a genocidic moment that people are dying. We want our guests to wrap it up. We have 6 minutes. Talk about what you want. Wait, we have a caller on the line. Been waiting. Okay, caller, state your name and your concern.
Jean-Paul DeBoge. I'm a member of the old Black Panthers from Chicago, and I'm here to help.
Right on, Chicago. Hey.
What's your question tonight?
Well, not much a question as much as I just want to make sure everybody knows that I'm here to help. And I've been harassed by the police here in Portland. I've been strip searched in the streets. I've had more than $10,000 of property stolen from me by dirty cops. I'm currently in detention from 7 charges that I received in 9 days, over 37 charges. And these dirty cops don't know who the hell they're messing with.
Well, John Paul, contact me. I'm from Chicago, and I was at the end of that Black Panther movement, so contact me and I can introduce you to some people and we can start.
Well, then,
what
know,
the Panther
Jan Roberts, she was standing next to MLK and was very good friends with Malcolm X, and yeah, she ran the Cabrini Green Lutheran Church Children's Choir.
Exactly, exactly.
So
I'm from Algale Gardens.
What's your name again?
Ibrahim Mubarak. I'm from Algale Gardens, 131st Street, far south. So now we're going to go on to our guests so they can wrap it up. Find a way to contact me, or you can call me at 503-839-9992. Okay, guests.
I just wanted to point out that one of the things that I'm noticing is that there's an increased rhetoric against houseless people coming from a national level. Mm-hmm. And if you are somebody who does not like Trump or his policies and you find yourself mirroring his rhetoric about houseless people, you might want to check yourself. Neoliberal policies
was astounding.
Absolutely. Neoliberal policies right now are very, very in line with what the Trump White House wants to do about houselessness. So watch that, y'all.
Sandy, tell us about Sunnyside and Beacon, and what can we do now that the Methodist is on the rise against people of color and houseless people?
And the phone number for Beacon one more time, please.
503-893-8895. So I would just like to say that for me, it's all about relations and being relational. Yes, maybe there are some homeless people out there who are scary looking and who are scary and probably do bad things, but it doesn't mean they're not good people and it doesn't mean they're not a human being. I currently, my husband and I took in a homeless person and I love him to death. And I trust him wholeheartedly. I don't worry about one thing. And it's because I established a relationship with him. If you have $1 million to give to Beacon PDX so we can buy our building, leave a message or email us. Go to our website, beaconpdx.org. Hook us up, Portland.
Jeff, you want to wrap up the show?
Sure. Not a summary, just a small thing, but to me it's not so small. So when they take my things, and then I've at best have just a small tarp to put over me for my hooch, I'm having to crouch all of the time, and you tend not to want to turn around, so you hold one position all the time, and your back starts to ache. And in the middle of the night, when I've got to get up and urinate for the third or fourth time at my age.
Or the other one.
I have a different set of control systems for that. It's painful, and it's debilitating. It's not a laughing matter. It hurts. It stresses me out all day long. And I begin to understand why some homeless people end up screaming and yelling, seemingly irrationally, in the middle of the day, because perhaps it hurts.
It hurts to be homeless.
Thank you, Jeff. If you would like to reach out and talk with Right to Survive more, we can be reached at r2spdx@gmail.com. On our website, you could leave a message, righttosurvive.org. Or we have a meeting tomorrow night at Join in the southeast, 1435 Northeast 81st Avenue, and that will begin at 5 p.m. right off the Max line.
And all welcome, especially houseless people. Let's come together and put our thoughts and our concerns together to see what we can do about these unjust laws that are being imposed on houseless people. We need to educate them, and let's stop these unnecessary sweeps. Because what if somebody is doing something wrong in a whole apartment complex, do they sweep that whole apartment complex or that sweep that person?
Just another place for people to get into this. Roadies meetings at Sisters of the Road, noon on
Wednesdays.
Or you can reach Kaya Sands of Street Roots and complain, tell her your story, and we can put these things and circulate these things in Street Root newspaper.
Or come to 12th and Burnside and check out my art.
There you go.
Yeah, Jeff is not stealing. He's not robbing people. He's putting art, little pieces of driftwood together and making good sculptures and art out of them as a living. Help support him so possibly he can go inside.
No, thank
or
you,
live
thank
out
you.
The rest of his life the way he would like to. Thank you for joining us. Remember, everyone, be kind to one another.
And listen to our show next month on KBOO 90.7 FM, 6 o'clock to 7. If you have a topic, contact us, and it has to be about houses. We would like to have house people in to talk about their fear of houses.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is now 7 o'clock. Up next is Hard Knock Radio, but first this from KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 10 Spiders 30 EP release party on Saturday, October 10th at 8 p.m. at the White Eagle Saloon in Portland. 10 Spiders play bluesy roots rock and will be releasing their 30 EP that night. They'll be playing with EcoCheck, an indie alt rock band, and Flying Caravan, who plays psych folk. Again, that's the 10 Spiders 3rd EP release party on Saturday, October 10th at 8 p.m. at the White Eagle Saloon.